Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host, Travis.
Yeah, and I'm Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey.
It's been a while.
Yeah, like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's like a schedule. It's like we're almost.
Yeah, it's like we're on the same cycle.
Oh my.
Speaking of cycles, we're going to be doing this again next week.
We are? Oh, we are, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because.
Try not to be too excited.
Yeah. Damn it. Okay, so yeah, getting right into it. We've been doing the Walking Dead Season 7 episode recaps.
We need an excuse to keep doing the show.
Yeah, sure. Bring it back from the dead. No pun intended. So we did episode 1, and then 2 and 3 together, and then 4 and 5. And then now we're, this week, we are doing 6 and 7. And we found out watching the episode.
Yeah,
on the next week is the mid-season finale. I hate that term, but mid-season finale until January, February, whenever it comes back.
April, May, June.
Whenever, yeah. So we're gonna recap that episode just by itself, and you know, give us time to maybe talk about some other stuff too. So, And then we'll have to think of some other material in between it comes back.
Or y'all could just wait till February, March, April, May.
Yeah, whichever. If the show's still around, I don't know. it's week by week.
You don't watch Into the Badlands, do you?
No.
No. You don't watch Fear the Walking Dead, do you?
No.
And Game of Thrones isn't until, like, May, right?
But here's the thing. It's December. We got maybe a year in review.
That sounds like a lot.
Nah. You know us. We'll half-ass it.
Yay!
All right. So we can do a year in review episode, right? Mm-hmm. I've done them so far ever since I started this show.
You just saw Doctor Strange over the weekend.
I did see Doctor Strange over the weekend, finally, because I kind of forgot it was out in the theaters. But I was thinking maybe a recap of that, or maybe, don't do that. way back when, we did a Marvel Phase 1.
Oh, I remember that.
Recap. We never followed up with that. So
yeah, well,
maybe we can do Phase 2.
Okay.
Maybe. We're working on it. Yeah. We'll get back to you on that. All right. Yeah. So, in the meantime, we have this week's episode. I just said it a second ago. We're going to do Episode 6 and 7 of Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
We just got done watching Episode 7.
I did.
Yeah.
He rewatched it.
I was trying to give you some credit there, buddy. But anyway. Yeah. So, anyway, we're going to do that. But first, of course, we have a kind of a new tradition.
Oh, yeah. We have to pause for the relevant stuff that's going on right now.
You know, I like this.
Yeah, before we hit the rewind button, we have to remember.
Well, we're still rewinding back to the last couple weeks here. Yeah. So, first things first, I think the biggest thing that came out these past 2 weeks, which, by the way, it's kind of slim pickings this week. But
I know you didn't want to show me the list. I was like, hey, what's on the list?
Let's start off with a bang here. Marvel versus Capcom Infinite.
Holy fruit jealous! Yeah!
I was waiting for that.
Yes!
Oh my god, rumors.
You know how those rumor mills work where they start churning stuff and apparently one guy kind of knows what they're saying and you're like, it's just one fucking guy. And then you're like, wait.
And this isn't the time that you started the rumors.
Yeah.
So, Marvel Capcom. The last time we played this was Capcom 3. Marvel Capcom 3.
Ultimate Marvel Capcom 3.
Yeah. Had it for Xbox 360.
So did I.
Yeah.
Yeah. Loved it. The mix of characters was really what got my attention.
Well, even before then, I mean, this is Marvel Capcom. Yeah. Is, you know, going back, part 2 was, I think,
10 years ago at least, maybe longer.
I think it was almost notorious or infamous almost for how rare it was to find it on the consoles. And then
finally, like an Xbox copy at some like pawn shop for $140,
right?
Like, nah.
Tells you how long it's been. When Marvel Capcom 2 came out, you can get it on the Dreamcast.
Ugh.
That's how long it's been. So
could you play it on that little memory card?
Probably.
Oh.
Probably. Yeah. But then you
pays
know
for itself.
Yeah, and then the 360, PS3, you can get the Ultimate Marvel Capcom 3 on that. And then it's been a while. A lot has changed.
Oh, wow.
A lot has changed in the few years that Marvel Capcom 3 has been out.
Yeah. So I would like to thank... I would like to thank Street Fighter 4. Thank you.
Why think Street Fighter 4?
I felt like Marvel Capcom 2 was like at the peak of fighting games.
2D fighting games.
Yeah, at that time. To a lesser extent, dude, before Mortal Kombat XL came out, Mortal Kombat 9 that came out for Xbox 360, you kind of saw between that, between Street Fighter 4, Mortal Kombat 9, and like the rising popularity of esports, which is basically like there's tournaments for Overwatch, Call of Duty, Halo, like any game you can think of. There's a tournament, there are teams, they get legit money, it's kind of a big deal, you can bet on them in Vegas.
Right.
Like, it's on the come up.
Right.
So, when Street Fighter 4 came out, like, everybody jumped on that, and then Injustice, and then Mortal Kombat X, like, the fighting game style, the fighting game, felt like it was starting to come back up on the rise.
It's always been there, but recently, I think... when Mortal Kombat 9 and then Street Fighter 4, when those two games hit, I think kind of a resurgence almost.
Yeah.
It's still a niche genre. It's still a niche market.
But it's getting bigger.
I think so. Even if it's not, I mean, it's still there. And if you follow the genre of those games, as long as I have and as long as you have, it's cool to see when these games come out, big, you know, big releases come out like this and a lot of and positive responses. Yeah. We had Street Fighter 4, and that became Ultimate Street Fighter.
There's like eight different versions of Street Fighter 4.
Super Street Fighter.
Ultimate, Carcade, Classic, Retro, all that bullshit.
And then now Street Fighter 5 came out, what, last year? I think so. Or earlier this year?
Early this year.
Yeah. So
early this year. I think they finally fixed the bugs.
Oh my god, yeah.
When you rented it for a cup of coffee, and you were like, wait, where's the rest of the game?
Yeah, it's just multiplayer. And if you know me, I hate multiplayer. I don't do multiplayer.
I'm the only friend he has.
Pretty much, yeah. So anyway, I'd like because you go online and you're playing up against like
you're beaten like 5 seconds with two moves and you're like, okay,
by 13-year-olds.
Yeah,
you have nothing else better to do than play this game. The game's like, you know, 14 hours a day. These damn kids.
That's the same reaction I had a couple of years ago when there was like a random impromptu Mario Kart 8 tournament at the Galleria. And I somehow got to the end with my ex-girlfriend at the time. And we got our asses handily by 2 12-year-olds. And that was the first thing that came out of her mouth. Like, these motherfuckers, they got nothing better to do than play.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. That's, you know what? We're old.
Yeah, we're old. But yeah, Marvel Capcom Infinite, they're bringing back...
Capcom, what?
Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yes.
They're bringing back in a style that only old schoolers would know. If you remember in the very beginning, War of the Gems, where all the Infinity Stones were at play, and if you were to grab one, it would alter your character's moves. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing that back. So right off the top when I saw the... Well, actually, right off the top when I saw the trailer... The first guy I saw.
Your man.
Oh, my little brother. Mega Man X from the Mega Man X series from the Super Nintendo. So I was already in.
I knew you were sold.
That's all it took. It's like Mega Man X. Good.
And then who picks him up, you know, by the arm?
Ryu.
Yeah,
from Classic Street Fighter, of course.
So you got them two. And then we see in the trailer they're fighting.
Iron Man
and Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Here's my thing. I want to get excited for this. I really do, and because I'm a big fan of Marvel and Capcom in the past games.
And you're a decent fighting games guy. You've had more. The reason I got into Mortal Kombat X primarily was because you had it.
Yeah.
And I started getting that fighting bug back.
And I was more of a Mortal Kombat guy, but I was my ground based training is in Street Fighter 2. Mm-hmm. So
whose isn't?
Right, I know, right?
Right.
But
even if you're a fan of one or the other, in the beginning you played both.
Right. Yeah,
and as you grew up, you made your decision if you were a Mortal Kombat guy or if you were a Street Fighter guy.
Exactly. Yeah. And
nobody
Capcom
gives a shit about Tekken.
Yeah.
Cable.
And that Soul Calibur piece of shit. but this was the past Marvel Capcom games. It's the 2D style fighting. It has a look and feel. Which is fun, you know? This one, when I saw the trailer for it, I immediately got worried. Like, first of all, it's 3D. It's not going to be the traditional 2D fighting what that franchise is based off of.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, this goes into a whole other can of worms, and this might be a good topic for an episode, but Marvel is just a mess right now as far when it comes to their properties and what's licensed and what can be used where. Marvel is just a mess. And all I see right now is them focusing on the Marvel Studios characters, the cinematic universe, because that's their bread and butter. That's where it's making all their money for them. That's their,
thank you for reminding me why.
That's how, well, you know, it's who I am.
I thought that was who I was.
So, as much as I want to be excited for this game, one of the primary fun aspects of this past games, Berserker Barrage. You know,
Wolverine's always my number one pick.
Mine too.
And to have the feeling that Wolverine is not going to be in this game. This is the equivalent of taking Ryu out of Street Fighter.
Exactly. Yeah,
this
you're
is
right.
the equivalent of taking Sub-Zero out of Mortal Kombat. This is the equivalent of taking some asshole from Tekken and some whole asshole from Soul Calibur out. Like that's like the team mascot. And if you don't have the team mascot that's been there from the very beginning, this motherfucker right here, bah! You can have 40 Mega Mans. I'm still not gonna like it.
No, you'll like it.
It depends if they all have their weapons. The wood deep shield and shit. But no, but really, like Wolverine, like, again, like I threw back the War of the Gems. That's like old school, like Capcom only.
We'll go back to even four. You know? X-Men, Children of the Atom.
That was the first. X-Men versus, before we had Marvel versus Capcom, we had X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Right.
And even then, like Wolverine and Ryu, where you can like do the backwards fireball and Fierce to get Akuma, and you can change it to all that. Like, dude. Yeah, if you're not going to have Wolverine in there, you're going to alienate a lot of fighting fans. A lot. And you're looking at a couple of them right here. So, accentuate the positive, hide the negatives. Okay, so no X-Men. I'm guessing because it's Fox, no Deadpool either. And I was a huge fan of Deadpool in Capcom 3.
Yeah.
No Fantastic Four, I guess.
But at this point, their name is Mud.
So, how about the positives? Do they control the characters that they have on Netflix?
Yeah, absolutely.
How about the Punisher? There That'd be go. The first time ever we get you, the Punisher.
Replace Deadpool with Punisher. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the one exception to the rule would be Spider-Man, since they already have a working relationship with Sony. But all the Fox characters, no, I don't see any of them.
Oh, even if they would have had the same dealings that they would have had with Sony. Dude, old man Logan for the Wolverine character would have fit perfectly in this game, and everybody could have won. Everybody could have made money.
Maybe, like, since Wolverine is such a pivotal part of this past games, I can maybe see Fox and Marvel working something out where this guy shows up somewhere in that game as the only Fox character.
Yeah.
Maybe.
To be honest, I didn't play as a Super Skrull. I didn't play as, like, fucking Cyclops, Jean, Rogue. Even if you want to go back from all Marvel Capcom 2, Marvel Capcom 1. The only dude...
Sentinel. Juggernaut. Juggernaut.
The only Marvel character I really enjoyed playing was Wolverine.
Right.
That's it. Maybe Boneclaw Wolverine from Part 2.
But still Wolverine.
But it's still Wolverine. I even gave Lara Kinney a chance in Capcom 3.
X-23.
She was pretty good. But even then, like, You can't have Wolverine and have X-23. Like, it doesn't work. You can't have one without the other. Like, if you would have had Ken but not Ryu in Street Fighter, people would still be pissed off. And it's basically the same moveset, the same characters, the different color hair.
And here's another thing. When I'm looking at the trailer, and I'm hoping that the trailer is not particularly representative of what the graphics are going to be, because the graphics on the trailer, it looked clean, slick, you know, it looked really good. However, when I'm thinking fighting games lately for Capcom, I'm thinking Street Fighter 4 and 5.
And that's what...
When the big cartoony looking...
They showed gameplay footage, and that's exactly
Is
what
it?
You're looking
okay.
at.
Okay, I didn't see that part, but I saw the trailer. So that's good. Yeah. That's a positive. So I'm still looking forward to it. I'm cautiously optimistic about it. I just want inclusion for
Hell, if it's DLC later.
Maybe.
Something. Let me know that this is eventually coming, because otherwise... Shit.
It's a damper. It puts a damper.
It does.
It's almost bittersweet as far as news goes. But anyway, that's it from, I think, unless you got anything else.
No, that's it. Okay. It comes out in 2017.
Yeah.
So it could be January 1st. It could be December 31st.
They got time to work with Sony.
Yeah, they'll figure
it out. Or Fox.
Yeah, whatever. And Fox, yeah.
So anyway, speaking of Marvel, moving on. Did you happen to catch the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
Yes.
Did you? Okay. I know everybody's online. They're talking about Baby Groot. That's like the big takeaway. It just, it's fine what it is, but my wife saw it. She's like, shouldn't, how long is it going to take for him to grow? Like, shouldn't he already be like, I was like, I don't know. He was a toothpick in the episode. Yeah. So I don't know. But it's just for, it's for entertainment purposes, you know, bringing him as a little baby cuteness. All this
stuff. They're sticking to it. They're sticking with what worked in the first movie.
And you can catch that with the humor in the trailer. All of this is very similar. They must have the same writers and everything for that, since the first movie. But it looks good. Like, the humor's still there. The characters are still there. Batista is as Drax. He's still...
Deal with it.
Right?
Yeah.
You need a hug, don't you?
I'm curious to see what they're going to go with this, because from what the has been leaked so far, there's not an Infinity Stone in this movie.
Yet that we know of.
Yet that we know of. I don't know. Honestly, I'm going to turn in my man card here. I really didn't know shit about Guardians of the Galaxy before the first movie came out.
Half the audience did.
Besides playing Rocket Raccoon on Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which I thought was kind of funny. So I don't know what's going on in this movie at all, other than it's tied together with the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So there's nothing in there that I know of enough for me to complain or to want to see. So I'm going in here just as optimistically, if not more, because of the success of the first movie than I am with the first movie.
They give you the benefit of the doubt with that first movie. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why Marvel Studios is killing it right now, you know, because they can catch the longtime comic fans and they can catch the people just walking in for a movie, you know, and get entertained. So, yeah, there you go. Another trailer dropped recently, the Mummy trailer.
Oh, I just saw that. I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Because I'm probably going to sound like everybody on the internet. First thing I hear of when I hear the words The Mummy and movie, holy shit, they brought back Brendan Fraser. Yeah, Encino Man. Fucking bedazzled. All right, The Mummy, part 4.
And then what do you see?
Tom Cruise. Okay.
Here's the thing. Like, I think...
Help me, Tom Cruise.
I know what they're doing with the movies, you know, but I think a lot of the people, general mass audience, I don't think enough time has passed since the last Mummy franchise. Mm-hmm. And I think people are just assuming that when they say The Mummy, it's just going to be either a continuation or I'm hearing this a lot. Oh, they're rebooting the Brendan Fraser movie? Really? Mm-hmm. You know, God, they're rebooting everything. Here's the thing. The Mummy is a universal creature, a classic monster. It's been different iterations throughout almost a decade, almost 100 years by now. You know, it's the Mummy with the Brendan Fraser series. That was just one iteration of this franchise, you know, and this is all this is a new franchise. So I'm down with that. That doesn't bother me with it being not Brendan Fraser. And
shit got my attention. Yeah. You know, at first 20 seconds, I was like, holy shit, where's Brendan Fraser? By the end of the trailer, I was like, I will pay money to watch this.
Does it bother you, or does you have, there's a female, the Mummy's a female now instead of a...
So?
Yeah. Hey, I know you're going to like, so? it was a softball question.
That's like the last thing that I would worry about. Like, I'm still like trying to get over the fact that this is a Mummy movie that is not the old throwback.
Well, here's the thing.
Series.
I don't know if you've heard this, but... Universal, what they're doing with this, it's the new trending fad in Hollywood movies.
Oh no!
Connecting cinematic universes.
Oh no!
So you know, Universal classic, you know, Universal monsters. It's, you know, the Mummy, Wolfman, Invisible Man, Frankenstein. You got all the classic, the Dracula. You got all the classic horror, you know, horror monsters. You know, and this is the start. Well, I say this is the start of the new franchise where they're all going to be connected to the cinematic. But I believe a few years ago, the Dracula Untold movie came out. I think that might have actually started the connecting universe.
Okay.
But
that's the one with Aaron Eckhart, right?
Luke, the guy from Fast and Furious, Luke Evans, I think. He was the Dracula.
Oh, okay.
He was the Dracula. Anyway. It was the, you know what, and I feel bad because I actually didn't see the movie yet. So, I don't know. I heard mixed things. I heard it was good, but you know, it is what it is. Mm. Now, because this movie, I'm going to go back and check it out, because just in case. Mm-hmm. Now it's connected, so you got
to
watch it.
Yeah, right, yeah, I have to know from the beginning. Yeah.
But anyway.
Everybody wants to do a connected universe now.
It's the thing. It's the thing to do. Thanks, Marvel.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway, that's pretty much it. All right, so let's go back 2 weeks. We have episode 6.
Do we have to? Like, I'm gonna just start off from the top.
Just give me real quick.
I am a huge, I don't even know where this is coming from, but I am a huge proponent of girl power and equality.
Are you?
And women's rights. Oh yeah, dude. Don't let the assholery fool you.
That's all I know you by.
I know. Right?
Who are you?
I treat the women that we know with respect.
You do. You do.
And I hate saying that. I just blew my cover. But regardless, I'm down with it. This last, that first episode of Walking Dead, if I wasn't at the bar, at Neil's bar watching this, I would have checked out within 10 minutes. Like, it complete, I don't know what it was. It completely lost my interest in the entire season. The entire season. To the point that I showed you this picture earlier. Hmm. I snapped it on Facebook yesterday. It said, all your favorites back on this episode of The Walking Dead. It's like, where the fuck were they? they had commercials building up for that episode. Mm-hmm. And they were showing scenes of Negan in front of the Saviors giving a speech. And Daryl reacting to this. I was like, all right. I stuck through this entire episode expecting the payoff of seeing Negan. As uncomfortable as he makes me, we'll get into this episode later. He's the hook right now that has everybody still watching. Mm-hmm. And not one mention, not one sight, not one, well, maybe a mention. But we didn't get to hear him himself. Right. Or watch.
This was, off the season, this was the first totally standalone episode that did not, what's the word I'm looking for? It didn't follow directly. It ties into the story, but you can miss this episode and be okay. For now, anyways. So basically, it's all about Tara, because this is a side character at best. But here's the thing, like this goes back to like the last season. When they went in and Rick's gang killed all those people and Tara and Keith left, which, because that's how important they are. I totally forgot that they left the group. So this
after the murdering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this episode is all about what happened to them, because everybody's got to know what happens. And I'm immediately, like, just confused because, like, I'm seeing it's a beach. It's like shoreline. Like, where the hell are we? Like, what's going on? These two girls are coming through, like, killing, like, dead walkers on the beach that washed up on shore.
Walking Dead, sponsored by Moana. That's one of the first thing that popped into my mind. Is like, okay, this...
Yeah. And then it's basically, you know, this girl, she finds Tara. She leaves her some food and water and everything and takes off. And Tara wakes up, finds her, follows her back to this
Oceanside.
Oceanside.
Yeah.
Another episode, another community.
Yeah.
That's... pretty much what it is. It's a running theme that we have to find out.
This is Mr. Rogers' neighborhood for our generation, because ain't nobody gonna be neighbors around this motherfucker. No, none.
Talk about transitions for me, and then you throw that shit out. I don't know what's going on. All right, so basically, it's Tara. She finds this group, and she notices. We all notice. Hey, there's a lot of women in here and children. What's going on? Oh, and they're armed to the gills. With guns and and they don't like intruders, pretty much. So
no matter what sex you are, even in their own sect of women, they couldn't let this one chick in. They're like, no, it's over, done. Like,
so anyway, yeah, Tara's captured pretty much, and they ask her questions, and they're trying to find out what's going on, and we get the story about what happened to them. This is a big community, and apparently this we find out that the Saviors, Negan's men, they came in and they wiped out all the men in this town, this community. So, and that's why they said never again, and that's why they're armed up and everything. They won't let anybody in. But I guess this is trying to the whole point of this, I thought, for this episode was to show like how far the reaches of Negan goes. Mm-hmm. Right? I think that's what I got out of it. Like, because honestly, who cares about Tara? No offense to Tara or... like, seriously, like, what role does
she play? She was looking kind of cute in The Talking Dead afterwards. But yeah. I digress.
No, nothing against the actors. I'm just saying, in the sense of the story of the characters, do you care what happens to Heath?
I don't even know who that is. Dude. Is that Tom Brady?
No.
No? Okay.
What are you talking about?
Heath is the Dr. Dre, the black guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's where I'm going to answer your question. Both of those characters, those minor characters, they've been gone from the television so much that I completely forgot.
I lost interest in them.
There wasn't anything. This episode actually should have happened after the episode with Morgan and Carol, the third episode of the season. Because it feels like that's the one thing. That's one thing I would have changed. The other one. If they were going to treat her that way in an all-women's camp, I would have been at least a little more interested if Dr. Dre was the one that ran into them looking for her, looking for Tara, to show that not all guys are as holish as Negan, and seeing them trying to figure that out within each other as opposed to just the episode that we got with Tara. It felt like... You would think at the end of every episode there would at least be a conclusion or some kind of resolve that happens or some kind of awareness between two parties, and I really didn't feel like I got that with the Tara episode.
Here's the thing, and a lot of this episode we're not going to spend too much time on it just because there's not a whole lot. We just summed up what happened in this episode. She finds a community called Oceanside, and that's pretty much it.
And they build a shit ton of bullets.
Yeah, so I don't want to spend too much time on that, but a couple of talking points. Towards the end, when they kind of walk her out, and she realizes they're just gonna kill her because they don't want anybody knowing about where they're at. They don't want anybody knowing about them at all, and they don't trust that she's gonna do that. So they try to kill her. She makes a run for it. The girl that saved her at the start, who's part of the community, she saved her again. Mm-hmm. She said, "Do you swear? Don't tell anybody about us." And she says, "Okay, I swear, Scout's on her, all that good shit." So she finally heads back. She helps her get past all the walkers and stuff, and
until she ran out of bullets. Oh, women! No, I'm just
kidding. You're a true gentleman. Yes. Yeah. So anyway, cutting to the end of this episode, she makes it back to Alexandria.
They teased that Dr. Dre was dead.
Right.
He wasn't.
Did we actually see him? We didn't see him. No, he's out there somewhere.
Gone. He's still gone.
Yeah. So she gets back to Alexandria, and she's all happy and goody because she's got the sunglasses and all that. She's having a good old time. And then when she comes back, timeline-wise, this is already after everything happened at the start of the season, and Eugene is just looking, you know, still distraught more than ever, and more so than usual. And then that's when it cuts to after she was told everything what happens. And then I think it was Rosita. She goes in there and says, "What'd you find out there? What'd you see?" Nothing. I didn't see nothing. So
no.
So that's it? That's the episode.
Like, even after you find out your girlfriend's been killed, you're not gonna do anything to try to avenge her death.
Yeah.
No? Okay.
So here's what I'm thinking. My guess, I don't know for sure, I haven't read spoilers or anything about this, I don't know. But I'm thinking at some point we're gonna get some kind of follow up with this with Tara
and Moana.
Yeah, going back to Oceanside and convincing them to join them on their fight against Negan. Because otherwise, why even have this episode? Why even introduce Oceanside? Why even do all this if you're not going to follow this up with anything? But the way it just left a bad taste in, I think, a lot of people's mouths, the fact that she didn't say anything to anybody. I think. That's just my opinion. But what about you? What about your last thoughts on that episode?
Dude, my last thought was 5 minutes ago.
Okay, good. I will say, to your point, this was the worst rated episode so far on IMDb. 5.8, everything else 7 and 8. So this is 5.8. This is the lowest rated episode.
Yeah.
No one liked this episode.
You lose a third of your audience on the second episode of this season. You shouldn't be giving us any reason to lose more. So hopefully they were able to sing the right song to get them back.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. That, my friend, is transition. Our next episode, the episode that just aired a couple days ago that I just saw a couple minutes ago. Sing me a song.
We're getting back on track on this
show. Yeah. Right off the top. Yep. That asshole tightened up when Negan showed up on television. Because I was like, what the fuck is this motherfucker going to fucking
now
do
with
this other
track? Now we're back on track. This is the show. This is season 7 right here. This is season 7 in a nutshell. Because it wasn't just singly focused on Negan. It wasn't focused just on Rick. It wasn't just focused on a side character. It interlaced all these storylines that we're starting to tell. The main one being right now, let's just get right into it, Carl.
Coral!
This is all his story, because going back two
you
episodes.
Grind boys.
Asking
for it. Oh, y'all, man. At this point, I don't even care if y'all die. Y'all have it coming. 7 seasons, y'all should call
you're
that
lucky
a win.
At this point.
Y'all should call that a win.
But this fuck! But this picks up from like 2 or 3 episodes ago, whenever Jesus and Carl snuck onto that truck, and Jesus, he's just like, we gotta go. We gotta get out of here because we're getting close. And he hops off.
Carl's like, show me how to do it. Jesus hops off. And Carl's like, bitch.
Jesus like, show me how to do it. Like, he knows.
He knew he got. Dumbass. That's how you end up on a cross with spikes on your hands. Yeah.
What? Anyway, okay, getting back to the Coral.
Yeah, before the mummy, there was Jesus. Yeah. So, Coral.
Yeah.
This motherfucker.
So he gets a gun. He waits in the back for him to stop. The guys, they go back there and unload. First, before that, we see Negan's voice. We hear him here in the background. I want to load this thing. So you already start the tension. Something with Negan on these episodes. Negan has a sense of like making it the intensity.
This
suspense.
I'm gonna pause that right here. This pop culture rewind. Pause. Yeah, pause. This season, the biggest asset, it's also going to be its biggest detriment, and it's Negan. Because I've gone ad nauseum this entire coverage that we've been doing this season so far of how uncomfortable I get when Negan's there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's straight up misery porn. However, the other option to misery porn was the Terror episode, where it's all like, yeah.
What do you want?
I need Negan. However, at some point, if Negan continues killing off popular characters in this show because Robert Kirkman doesn't want this show to end the way the comic book is going to end, this could be a big fuck you to themselves if they book Negan's character or they write Negan's character in a way that the outcome is not going to be very pleasant for the 2/3 of the audience that you still have after this season premiere that you just did for this season.
We'll get there. But right now, Negan's what you want to watch.
Yeah.
There's something about him. He's got that, he pulls you in. And when you don't have him on your show, you get a 5.8 rating on IMDb.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah.
So, this was such a, it's a palate cleanser, if you will, from the last episode.
It's a breath of fresh California air. Because it's polluted. So, you know.
Yes, okay. all right. So, Coral's plan doesn't work. He gets caught almost immediately after his plan.
Shocker. Right?
But, man, just that scene of Negan talking. Because you know Negan's character already. So, you know.
You're going to get fucked up, boy.
Yeah.
You're going to get fucked up.
Yeah. You don't know how or when, but something's going to happen. So this is where we see Daryl. Like, everything's starting to come into place. Like, he's seen all this. Dwight's there, and we see these backstories with Dwight, and we saw what happened, you know, what's going on with Daryl. So, Carl's attitude against Negan this whole episode is like...
This entire season.
Well, yeah, but it's like more so in this episode, because we already know he knows who Negan is, we know who Negan is, and Carl's not, like, putting up with any of his shit. Almost, that's what it sounds like. That's the vibe I'm getting. And it's not even, like, teenage angst or anything like that, or just being naive or anything. He's like, he knows what's going on. And in a scene later on with him and Negan talking, or Negan talking to him, he knows he's smart. He knows.
He's all grown up.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a phase. This isn't an angst phase. This isn't your staying at home listening to Dookie from Green Day phase. No. He doesn't want alcohol. He doesn't want pussy. He wants to kill Negan. Like, straight to the fucking point. To the point where if he's going to die, he's going to just jump out the window and do it his own damn self.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, fuck. poor kid.
Those scenes with him and Negan is going back and forth.
That's character building. That was. Yeah. I appreciate the effort in the Terror episode. That failed miserably. This episode, you're doing the job of investing in these characters. Mm-hmm. Like, you see a side to Negan where you're like, oh, so he's not a complete dick.
Ah. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. There it is. It's not erect yet. You see, it's weird. Like, you can even understand at certain aspects of this episode why Negan does what he does, even though
right.
the outcome might be a little hot.
Well, here's the thing. There is one scene where he goes in there and we actually see his community. He has a community. He has followers. And this is something I don't think we've seen yet. We've seen the Saviors. We've seen them going out and terrorizing and getting all their shit.
We've seen Woodbury as a community, but they're not all like kneeling down, drinking the Kool-Aid and shit. They're just all on their own. And
yeah.
This was cult-like almost, like out of Waco.
Yeah, they're in a compound.
yeah.
Literally. So, but that was interesting, I thought, because for, you know, you start guessing, like, if you didn't see that, you're like, well, who is it? Like, well, who is he all doing this for? Why is he gathering all this stuff? Well, that's who he's gathering all this stuff for. This is his followers. And we have that, and we kind of see how he runs the place, how he commands the respect, as he says, when he's talking to Carl about it. Mm-hmm. And we see how things are run. There was an instance where one of the Saviors, that he messed up on something, and he had to pay the price for it. That was a whole side kind of story on this 90-minute episode.
Yeah.
Again. So what were some of your thoughts about what was going on in that whole tour of the compound with Negan and Coral?
I think with Coral, it goes back to, at least in my opinion, I'm not sure he wants to follow his dad anymore.
You don't think
you
so?
You know, dude, like Rick had every opportunity you could imagine to end Negan. He had Lucille in his hand. He had all these opportunities where he could have just like done it, and the aftermath would have been aftermath. Carl, you remember that he's Rick's son, because he had opportunities to like end it, you know,
right there. He was pointing the gun right at Negan.
Yeah, and he didn't do it. I was like, if not in a positive way, but this feels like Batman and the Joker in the sense that this is never going to end. And at some point, if it's not going to end, it's going to get stale as far as telling a story and it being entertaining or you.
Because that was strictly storyline purposes, he didn't kill him. Why else would he not shoot him right then and there? That would have been it. But Negan is, and I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Negan is so good. I think even if they plan on killing him off for this season, I think they're rewriting. I think they're going to be rewriting some stuff, and I don't think they're going to kill him off this season. I think they are going to drag him because he's so captivating on screen. Mm-hmm. And we saw that in spades in this episode.
Yeah.
Even when he's being a dick. We laughed a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. We're huge fans of wrestling, and there's bad guys that we legitimately cheer for because they do such a good job at pissing us off that we just respect. Like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
This is Jeffrey Dean Morgan is like the epitome of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, you hate the guy so much, but at some point, you're just like, yeah, you son of a bitch. Yeah, that's Negan.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say Stone Cold. I don't know. Heel Rock from the 90s.
There you go.
Because he was supposed to be a douche and a dick and all this other stuff, but he was so
entertaining.
Yeah, and had so much charisma that you're like, fuck, I hate this guy. But damn, he's good.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway. Yeah, and that kind of went on for a little bit about showing what's going on. But it was those scenes in Negan's room talking to Coral.
Man to man. That's the biggest thing I got out of Carl in this episode, that he is not a kid anymore.
Yeah.
For him to do the things that he did and the way he did them, I think Negan's actually not only understanding that, but he's kind of admiring the fact
that
a kid that it does would rather like kill somebody than go to prom. And then, dude... Again, the misery porn. You need that to stay alive in this interest. He takes him back to Carl. He finds out that Carl's the one that he doesn't have a mom because Carl killed her while she was giving birth. They go back to the compound, Alexandria, mm-hmm. and Negan's holding fucking Judith. Yeah. Dude, from that point on, that's where I was like so... It felt awkward as... It was like the worst car crash ever, and you're going 2 miles an hour, and you can't help but just like... to the rest of the episode. It was... I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that it kept my interest.
Why?
Because it's...
Well, you do fall asleep easily.
It's odd, dude. this character... I'm telling you, the Negan character, the future of this show is gonna rest on the heels of the way this Negan character is portrayed.
Yeah.
Because if they do it too much, a third of the audience will leave.
Yeah.
If you don't do it enough, we're gonna be falling asleep 5 minutes into the Terror episode, and you're gonna have nobody awake for the rest of it.
Enough of that. It's like talking to a birthday present. I want to see what's under those. I want to see what's under that present. Unwrap it. Take those bandages off.
I didn't really get that at first until I noticed Carl was starting to... I was like, oh.
Yeah. And I think it's the first time we've seen...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the eye.
Ever since it got shot out. Yeah. Yeah.
So, man, and then...
Have you seen the pictures of Carl in the comic after he got his eye shot out? No? Okay. Well, never mind. I'm not going to ask them.
No, okay. Well, I saw the... There's an action figure coming out. There's a figure, and it's like missing eye. That looks pretty gruesome. That looked pretty rad.
Oh, nice.
Pretty rowdy. but, and this is more going back and forth. That was very interesting. I thought after he took the bandages off and he made him sing and all this other stuff, and they got interrupted, and Negan kind of leaned in a little bit and he says, don't ever let anybody say that doesn't look, you know, that's, you know, don't cover that up. That's
it might not be a hit with the ladies, but no one will fuck with looking at you like that. Oh yeah, I believe it completely.
And this is all just going back to the cult leaders thing, like just feeding him, like
that sounds like advice that Rick should be giving Carl instead of Negan. And that's the other aspects, like that's kind of like it's uncomfortable to watch, but it's so fresh on television that it's kind of like this reverse Stockholm syndrome thing where you're getting advice from the people that you're getting genuine advice from the people that are looking for out for your worst interest. But it works, though. It fucking works.
Well, look at this. Go back to the Judith thing. The last scene we see was him with Judith and bopping her on his knee and giving her a little kiss on the head and everything. And it's like, as creepy as that was, or as disturbing as that was, when was the last time Rick held Judith?
Yeah.
You know? When that's the first interaction I've seen anybody be a fatherly, because seeing that scene, that's more symbolic than anything. I think that's going to be a metaphor for the season going forward.
I don't even remember seeing Judith past the episode where Tom Brady's mom was in there killing off zombies, making sure that Judith didn't come in, and that's like the last I saw of the baby until just now. I was like,
but okay. I think it's been a purpose to that.
Yeah.
To say that, okay, we assume that Judith's being taken care of, someone's watching after her, but Rick has got other things going on, and what's, you know, not even a day of being in this compound in this town, we see the camera pan, they're in the back patio drinking lemonade, Carl, you know, son and dad with the other daughter.
Waving to the neighbors.
Come on over, we'll grill it out, you know. It's like, come on, man. And that goes back to the chemistry that he's got. But anyway, moving on. Because there's so much in this episode, and there's so much to digest in this episode and discuss.
You think Daryl and his wife are still on the same page?
Dwight?
Dwight and his wife.
You
think they're still on the same page?
I don't know. Let's go back to that, because we mentioned Daryl was there, and Daryl and Carl know what's going on with what's going on. You know, they're both there. But Daryl got thrown back in the box again. Mm. But after Negan and Carl left, we got a scene of Daryl in the box, and we hear footsteps, and we see a little piece of paper sliding at the door, and he looks at it, and we see that the key and a match, and there's on the back side of the note that says, go now.
Yeah.
That's it we see for Daryl, but there's clips of next week's episode where Daryl's doing something, but...
Yeah.
You got any ideas on who gave the note to him?
It would have to be Dwight's girl.
I think that's the most logical explanation, and if I was a betting man, that's who I'd put my money on. But you never know. That could be a red herring. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. And I don't know. It's getting interesting because, like I said, we already know that not everybody is the hugest fan of Negan.
Yeah.
That's in that compound.
Not only that, I think they did a very good job of making sure that the characters we care most about, we have a reason to continue caring most
about.
Exactly. We got Carl, his one-on-one with Negan, and the whole family guy kind of thing going on, the family man kind of thing.
Right.
We got Daryl ready to bust out of prison. What'd you think about Michonne?
Who?
Michonne?
Michonne?
Yeah. Michonne. The accent's creeping up on me a little.
That first step, the very first thing we see is Michonne. And I immediately thought, oh, so she's playing Negan's game. She can whistle too. All right. So she's killing a couple of walkers, luring them out and killing them. And that's pretty much it we see for the next, like, hour.
And I'm thinking, it's like, okay, what's the point of this? And we got the point of it.
Later on, like an hour into the show, we see a truck pulling up on the road, stops. There's just a barrier.
Beaver dam of dead bodies.
And this lady gets out, gets her gun out, she's looking what's going on. She realizes she got by Michonne. She's laying a trap. She was laying a trap for one of the saviors. And
familiar?
Yeah. So she says, take me to Negan. She wants to go see Negan. So there's a little scuffle in the truck, but she's still, she didn't kill her because she's got to take her to Negan. So, and that's it we see of Michonne until next week's episode, I'm sure that'll be. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because we have all these different people laying out plans to do something,
The one theme I probably would have pulled out of this episode is either inadvertently or purposely, there are several people in Rick's group that think they can do Rick's job better than Rick.
Yeah.
Purposely, Tom Brady. I don't know who the guy, I forget who the guy's character is on the show. I care about him more if I call him Tom Brady, so I'm calling him that. But he is not not getting any of Rosita's punani, and he thinks that he can do a better job, maybe in the point that he can actually get some of Rosita's punani, which still ain't gonna happen. But dude, he got a decent crossbow out of it.
Spencer, that's his name.
Yeah. Go Bats. Yeah.
So anyway, that was the thing. Because that was the whole thing. It was in this episode, again, going back to the previous episode, Rick and Aaron were already out from the last
scavenging.
Time. Yeah, they're scavenging. Michonne just left. That's where it catches up with her. And then the other group was Tom Brady and Father Gabriel. They're in a car going their own way. Rosita and Eugene
refused to get shit for Negan.
Yes. Well, Rosita is.
Rosita refuses to get shit for Negan.
And this goes back to a few episodes ago where she found the shell casing, that mm-hmm. bullet, and she told Eugene, make me a bullet. That's where we ended that last two episodes ago, whatever. Mm-hmm. So this is the follow-up of that. Eugene doesn't want to do it. Changes his mind, and she puts him in his place.
Did she? Oof. Good Lord.
Yeah.
I would have shot her.
With what bullet? Make the bullet, then shoot her?
Yeah. I just need to make sure it works. Click! Oh, there it goes. Bitch. Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, dude. After the end,
it turned me on, though.
Actually, I'm not gonna lie with you. That was one thing. And then later,
very spicy, yeah?
And then later, when she, like, cocked the gun and the bullet popped out, she grabbed it. That was kind of hot, too. That's kind of hot. I'm not gonna lie. But that was about and then Eugene put her in her place. Like, you're not, because she apologized for what she said, and he's like, no, you didn't. You're not apologizing for what you said. You're apologizing because you had to say it, but you're not apologizing for what you said. And then
she meant it. He understood.
Yeah. So they're going back, and then that's when they meet up with us. Because Gabriel, they're in the car. Him and Tom Brady, they're in the car together. He's just going off on Gabriel about Rick.
Yeah, he's like, I'm the next Belichick. I can run the team. I know what I'm doing. I can be the MVP. Fuck that
he
guy.
He basically says, I hate Rick.
Yeah.
And Gabriel's like, stop the car.
Yeah.
And he's like, he explains, he's kind of like in defense of Rick. He's kind of explaining what's going on and how we got to where we're at. Whether you like it or not, that's where we're at. And he's like, I don't want to continue in this car. So he gets out and he starts walking back. And that's when Spence finds this dude with the crossbow and all that stuff. And he gets more supplies, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
There was, going back to Rick and Aaron, they found another guy's property. Apparently, this guy was like, you know, he was like held up in this place, all fortified and everything. And there was a sign that says, "If you made it this far, I'm already dead." And so they go into his compound, and there's the supplies, but it's surrounded by water filled with zombies.
Wow.
So, and they kind of left off of there. So, there's that. We talked about Rosita. We talked about Gabriel, Rick, Michonne. Going back, this whole episode was just a focus on Negan and Carl and what's happening with that. You said that you think that Carl is no longer... He's not that similar to Rick anymore. Like, he's like...
He's not as naive,
yeah,
I would say, as Rick. Like, Rick's a little bit of a dumbass.
Remember, like, there was like a season or two ago where Carl was like teenage angst Carl. Like, he was...
Standing up to him because that's the cool thing to do.
Yeah. I don't think this is the same thing.
No.
I think he still... He loves and respects Rick. But this is a different situation all around.
Yeah.
He wants to get revenge, come hell or high water, and he's going to do it on his own if he has to. And that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just not listening to what Rick's got to say. So... And it's not like a full-on hatred of Rick because he's still wearing the hat.
Yeah.
Which I think at this point has got to go. I don't know. Is this something now it looks kind of silly. I don't know.
Well,
what do you think? Do you think it looks silly?
Hats on the kids are all right.
He's not a kid. Yeah. Like
he's getting there.
Like 7 feet tall. And he's got a machine gun, for God's sake. Anyway, I think that's pretty much
it. Is that it?
One last thing I gotta say, because I saw this episode twice and I laughed both times. That might make me a bad person. I don't know. I don't care.
The thick chicks need loving too.
That scene with Negan and Olivia in that house. I know he was being a dick to her, but god damn, I was like, and it wasn't just the way she reacted to what, like her crying and everything, and then when she turned around and started crying, like. The way that Negan turned around and looked at Carl, like, really? It's just that reaction. It's almost the same as Hatchet. Like, whenever the way his mannerisms and his tone and everything, that's all that is. I just, God, it goes back to, that is because Jeffrey Dean Morgan is being a dick just for purpose of that.
Oh, man.
Like, where's Rick at? Well, he's out, I don't care. It's like, he might be gone for a while. I'll wait.
Make some of that lemonade.
Make
dude.
Some lemonade. Well, I'm the not good supposed stuff. To make it. You know,
make it good. Take your time. I'll fuck you if you want.
Yeah, it's like I'm gonna screw your brains out. And she slaps him. And he leans in and goes, "I'm like 50% more turned on to you right now." God.
Well, have you ever had it rough? It's fun. Oh,
well, that's a story from the other day.
Well, we're gonna bring this episode full circle. We started with video games. We're ending with video games. Kids with hats. Carl is not the only Walking Dead character that wears a hat.
Hmm?
They Telltale released their trailer for the new season of the Walking Dead video game with Clementine. And she is the equivalent of Carl in this game. Like, she's already... First season, she's struggling to survive. The second season, she's figuring out how to do things on their own. The third season episode, she comes out with that Terminator gun from part two, that spinning cock and shit. She's
a minigun?
No, big gun.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the...
Not the turret, no.
Oh, that's the minigun.
Dude, she's... Yeah, she's
oh, the shotgun.
Shotgun. Yeah. You don't fuck with Clementine. And she runs into a new family of Hispanics that don't realize what's going on until their grandfather passed away. But he's still alive because the little one is refilling his cup, and then they go in there to figure out what's going on, and they think it's some kind of...
Wait, is this already out?
They showed the trailer over the weekend. It should be coming out December 20th, if I'm not mistaken. It's the first episode comes out for the game. Xbox One, PS4.
You know, screw it. We are ending. We started, like you said, with video games. We're getting on video games. The Video Game Awards came on this past week. I didn't watch it, but there were some exclusives. Mass Effect Andromeda gameplay footage.
Oh, yeah. I noticed you have Mass Effect 3 over there.
I busted out
tinkering with your
dude. Well, because over the Thanksgiving holiday, I picked up Xbox One S.
Welcome to the club.
4K. 4K capabilities. Yeah.
Show off.
I don't have a 4K TV, but I will eventually at some point because I'm going to get a Mass Effect Andromeda, and that's going to be 4K capable. But I was able to, up before I got rid of my Xbox 360, I uploaded all my save files from Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3.
Because they're now backwards compatible.
They are, yes. And over the weekend, I installed, you know, I put in all three games, made sure everything loaded up fine. I got all my characters still in there. I got everything, all my save files nice. Still there. So I was playing a little bit of Mass Effect 3 over the weekend. So
getting reacquainted.
It's good. You know, knocking the game rust. Game rust off of me. Rust. So that's what it is. Yeah. But yeah, it's fun.
Speaking of which, you know what's not fun?
What's that? Wrestling.
No. Trying to find the classic NES console.
Oh, yeah.
I already threw in the towel. You found news that over the weekend, Toys R Us was going to have a shipment. And of course, the Sunday morning that it rained like fuck. Did you try to get anything?
Yes and no.
Ah, you son of a bitch. He's still got you.
Here's the thing. There's a thing.
Here's the guy that's wearing the Nintendo hat right there.
First of all, fuck you. here's the thing. Like, Saturday night, I called Toys R Us, the local one over here, and just to confirm, because you never know these things. So they were open until midnight Saturday, and they opened up at 8 o'clock the next morning. I called around 10 o'clock at night, and I asked her, it was like closer to 9 o'clock. I said, are y'all still getting shipments of the NES tomorrow? She said, yes, and there's already a line forming outside. This is like 9 o'clock at night Saturday.
And that sounds like
this
people
was
that
raining
are,
and cold. It's like 50-degree weather, and it was raining all
that
night.
That sounds like people that are going to sell that shit for $500, and they're going to get it.
So here, my plan for Sunday, regardless, without even knowing this idea, was I was going to go to the movie theater to go watch Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. And so I said, and the only thing that changed my plans was I went to the earlier showing than what I would have. That's it. Because I passed up Toys R Us on the way over there. So I left. They open at 8. I got there at like 8:45, 9 o'clock. I walked in there. Obviously, the line was already gone. Walked around. I didn't see anything. I walked past the sales associate there, and I said, did y'all get the NES?
Run out?
And she says, yeah. She's trying not to laugh. She's trying not to laugh when I asked that question. And I asked her, I said, how many did y'all get? She said about 30. So 30 went like that. That's all I got to say.
Wow.
Yeah. You miss it. If you don't camp out overnight, you're missing it. So I'm throwing in the towel on this thing. There's no, between now and Christmas, there ain't no way.
I'm sticking to my original resolve that I'm going to hold out till next year to get the Japanese version, the NES Famicom Mini.
Yeah.
And if not.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, dude, right now, I'm ready for the Switch. Like, I've camped out for new consoles, not retro ones. I've camped out for new ones, and I do plan on camping out for the Switch. And I'm thinking about taking a couple of days off from work and binge on Mario Kart, because apparently Mario Kart's a game day release. So
you're a small fan of that game, franchise.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But for the old console that I already have most of the games for,
yeah. Yeah, I'm still gonna get it.
Eventually. I'm not gonna break a sweat for that motherfucker. Yeah. And I am not paying 1 cent over retail for it either.
No. Mm-hmm. And again, the only reason I even went to that Toys R Us was because I was already
in the area.
Yeah, I was passing up the store on the way to the theater, so I was like, hey, might as well. But, yeah, if I wasn't going to watch the theater, no, I wouldn't have been out there. No, ain't no way. So, on that note, is that it for the show?
Man, put a fork in it.
Yeah, it's done. We've already gone over a couple minutes anyway. So,
ah, shit.
Right? I'll cut all that stuff out.
Ah!
So, we'll be back, next week?
Hopefully. Yeah. Next week.
That's our asterisk. That's our way out, just in case we get lazy.
I hope so. Yeah, I should be watching this episode. Well, last night I was in Dallas to watch a wrestling show.
Yeah.
So I couldn't watch it where I normally watch it, which would be Neil's Bar live on projector with drink specials and a bunch of sofas and a bunch of crazy ass people like me that are screaming and hollering whenever something goes on.
Yeah.
I will be there this Sunday, so I will be watching it live. So hopefully Monday we'll be ready.
In the meantime, you can always catch us on our other show. On YouTube, the HWR show.
That's also tentatively titled.
Asterisk next to that, apparently.
We're going to have more asterisks than a Barry Bonds baseball card, I'm telling you.
very nice. So, Did I just lose you? You lost me for a second. All right. So, yeah, find us on there on YouTube. But for pop culture stuff,
Facebook.
Facebook.com/popculturerewind.
Yeah.
Also on the Twitter machine.
Yeah. Pop culture RWND. We had to drop a couple of vowels to make the theme fit, but we did.
Yes.
And so far, nobody's taking it. And hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah. And then here, if you're on our YouTube channel, give us a thumbs up. Give us a comment below. Tell us some ideas, what you want to hear us talk about. Like I said, we'll be coming up. We've got a couple ideas in the works that we might eventually get around to. So,
if you don't like the show, legitimately, tell us why. If there's things we need to fix, if there's other shows we need to watch, because apparently Westworld happened, and people are a big fan of that, and I have no idea what that is.
It's a complex show. I tell you that. You got to pay attention to that show. So there's a lot of inner workings on that thing.
So what's in the center of the maze?
I don't know. I haven't watched the season finale yet.
Ah, fuck. I just ruined it for him.
I'd still be lost, probably.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Anyway.
I just heard Western and sex in the same sentence.
There's some sex in there. There's some nudity. There's more nudity than sex.
I'll take that.
Well,
I have plenty of hard drive space on my computer.
You do. Yeah. All right. So I think on that note, we're going to call it a show.
Bye.
All right. Till next time. Always remember to pop your culture.
Whew. Oh, am I supposed to do like a tagline or a quote or something?
If you want.
Yeah. Bye.
Good enough. 'm doing this, I tend to click. It makes noises.
Oh.
So if I have...
You need... What do I do with my hands situation, huh? Yeah. So you jack off on the brain?
Yeah, pretty much. And I was Walking Dead, too, so I figured, hey. It's all full circle.
That's how it works. Circle of life.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to do this?
Oh, sure. Why not? Okay. So we're only 20 seconds in.
Okay.
I can cut that.
Well, you don't have to. Leave it for the one person that thumbed us down.
It was you, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, it wasn't me. I don't think it was anyways.
Well, second thought.
How many drinks did you have that night?
I don't know. That's a question you want to answer to. I don't know if you want that question answered. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.